Let us open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 to 6. Genesis 15, verses 1 to 6. That's page 10 on your pew Bible. Genesis 15, verses 1 to 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for you and Christ whom you sent to die and pay for our sins, for the Holy Spirit by whom and through whom we have new life. We have the miracle of rebirth and the continuing work of sanctification and growth, nurture, nourishment, and preservation. Father, we give you thanks and we ask you this morning that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word with understanding and with faith. And we give you thanks because we know that you hear our prayers for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen and amen. It's good to be back. My family and I, we've been here for a couple of years now, almost 2 years. And the situation in the Philippines, I shared with you a bit about what's happening there. And it's gotten worse, sadly speaking. Perhaps some of you have been reading the news. So more than 7,000 people have already been really slaughtered extrajudicially. And the senator who's been the most vocal in criticizing and challenging our president, who is a lady, a lady senator, she was in prison. And the charges to me, others disagree, but to me it's clearly fabricated. And they are trying to revive the death penalty, and there are fears that the death penalty will be used to intimidate opponents of the president, who's really, to me again, that it's clear that he's very dictatorial, and so it's a very difficult situation there, and please do pray for us here. After the elections, we've also been watching the news and getting more and more acquainted about what's happening in the United States. And we're seeing that, oh, okay, so the United States is quite divided, very divided, and lots of protests and from the limited exposure that I have, lots of debates and passions that are not based on truth, that are just, it doesn't make sense. America needs to be evangelized again. The gospel needs to go forth, and the Lord wants to use his church. That's very clear to me. And so the world is becoming more and more dangerous. China is becoming more and more aggressive. in Asia. They've been claiming some disputed islands that have been, you know, we've respected that and did not build there, our country. And Vietnam has also been claiming it, but they didn't build there. And other countries, like four or five countries, are claiming those same islands, but, you know, through the millennia, right? We've been, okay, no one should build there, and no one should, everybody's claiming it, but don't build there. But China started building, I think, 3 years ago, and they've made significant progress, and it seems that they'll be occupying those disputed islands, and that's a major expansion for them. And so the world is becoming more and more, and then we're reading about ISIS, and recently I read, my family and I, we watched a documentary on Saudi Arabia, and it's the world is just a dangerous place. Even here in America, we've been watching videos, again, election after election, videos of beatings, people who were beating those who were not with them in their political stand and conviction. And that's not right. It's becoming more and more a dangerous place. We're reading about, we're reading about and learning about God's work in the life of Abraham. And Abraham was in a more difficult situation than we are. He was in the Promised Land, as we recall, from Ur of the Chaldeans. The Lord called him and brought him to the land of Canaan, and in the land of Canaan, there was immediately in chapter 12, when he arrived there, there was a famine in the land, and you know, he didn't have his, he left his clan, his family, his household, his nation, and he's in a new land as a stranger, and here he was, his family was threatened by this famine, so he was forced to flee to Egypt. We don't read there that he consulted the Lord. It seemed that he did it on his own volition. It was his own decision, and it became disastrous. He put his wife in danger. You know the story. And if not for the hand of the Lord, Sarah would have been defiled. Sarah would have become the wife of the king in Egypt. But the Lord really intervened in a supernatural way, and they came out of Egypt with blessings, with wealth, and then they returned to the Promised Land, and there in the Promised Land, they continued to grow, and specifically in their business, in their farm business, and then there were disputes between the workers of Abraham and the workers of Lot, and they had to separate, and he gave Lot the choice, and Lot chose what he saw was a better land. But then the Lord spoke to Abraham and comforted him that the Lord will continue to, he will remain faithful in fulfilling his promise to Abraham that through his seed he will become a great nation, and through his seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And but then Sodom, where Lot united himself, the people, it was invaded, and Lot was taken as captive with his family. And so with his men, Abraham went after them, limited men, limited resources, and yet the hand of the Lord was with him. He defeated this band of more than 10 kingdoms, more than 10 kings, and defeated them. And he was able to take back what they stole, and Lot was safe. The family of Lot was safe. Those who were taken captive were all safe, and they're back in Sodom. And he received the blessing of Melchizedek. But then the last verses of Genesis chapter 14, we read about the king of Sodom. And the king of Sodom said, "Abraham, you can take all the goods, all the loot. You can take them, but just give me the people." And Abraham said, "I'm not going to take anything from your hand. I'm not going to take anything that belongs to you, because you will then say that you made Abraham rich. So he said, you can have your men, you can have all the loot, but just the men who went with me, what belongs to them, that should be given to them. So basically, Abraham kept himself separate from Sodom. And he was by himself. He lived in tents with his small household, and they didn't have walls. He didn't have a palace. He didn't have an organized army. And here are those kingdoms and nations that surround him, and including Sodom, and especially those whom he defeated. And they could come back and just destroy him, annihilate Abraham and his family. And so Abraham is in a very difficult situation, and he would not unite himself in a covenant with the king of Sodom. So that's the context of what we have just read and what we are feeding on in the Word of God this morning. That's why it starts with the words "after these things." Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 starts with "after these things." After those things happened, Abraham was in a condition, in a situation of great fear, great worries and anxieties, as you can imagine. Who was he compared to all those kings that he defeated and could reorganize and restructure themselves and rebuild their armies and manufacture more weapons, and then come against him again, come back at him and kill him and annihilate him, get rid of him, and do it again, invade Sodom, which they were able to do. And so after these things, the Word of God tells us, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Now, when we read these things, especially in our Bible storybooks, we read about a lonely old man and a lonely old woman who are childless. And that's their desire. They want a child. They want a child, and they want land. And at least to me, maybe not to you, Abraham is made to look like a very worldly person. He is in a relationship with God because he is childless and he needs a son. He needs an heir, and he needs land. But that is not what the Bible tells us. When it says, "And the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision," that tells us that Abraham here was a prophet. The word of the Lord in the Old Testament is given to the prophets. And the prophets then preach the word of the Lord to the people of God. It's the work of the minister. And so we have to see Abraham here as a minister. Abraham as a prophet. The word of the Lord came to him in a vision. That's another clue. So we read in Numbers that when God speaks to prophets, he appears to them in visions. In the oracles of Balaam, in the book of Numbers, we read about him seeing visions. And the same Hebrew word is used. Balaam saw visions of the Almighty. That is what happens here with Abraham. As a prophet of the Lord, he was receiving the word of the Lord. And he was receiving the word of the Lord in a vision. So what we have here is a prophetic moment. What we have here is not a regular, all temporal thing. We are talking here about prophetic things. We are talking here of eternal things. The Bible is talking to us and teaching us here of eschatological things. Things that will happen when the Messiah comes. So we have to set our minds in that way as we continue to look into this passage. Abram the prophet of God, receiving the word of the Lord in a vision. And that word of the Lord is about things to come. Things that are not just about him and his dear wife having a baby. That is a part of it, but it looks forward further to the coming of the Messiah, to the coming of the Christ. And that's why the words that are used are offspring, right? You have given me no offspring, he told God. And then God told him, look at the skies. So shall your offspring be. It puts us back, it points us back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. God is fulfilling his promise that he will reverse the fall. God is fulfilling his promise that he will send the offspring of the woman, who is going to be also the offspring of Abraham. And this offspring will crush Satan. And this offspring will save God's people from Satan and the fall. And this offspring will restore the world and bring forth the new heavens and the new earth that Adam and Eve failed to accomplish. This is about the fulfillment of all things. And so, we have to go to Hebrews chapter 11 to really understand what's happening in Genesis 15. We're going to go to some very important New Testament passages that explains to us the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 to 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was about to that he was to receive as an inheritance. And look at this. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Verse 9. By faith he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Now that's the key here. Verse 10. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. So when Abraham left Ur of the Chaldeans, his vision is not about having a physical land in this earth, in this age. Of course that was a part of it. But that was just the beginning. And that was just going to be preparatory to what is the ultimate fulfillment of God's promise. God is building a city. God is building a country. And that city and country is not earthly but heavenly. It's not going to be built by man. It's going to be built by God. And this promise was also known. This was also the purpose of creation. From the very beginning, this is what's going to happen. This is what God wants to happen. It started in Eden, but then it's going to move forward. It will reach a time of fulfillment with the Messiah. Even without sin, the Messiah will still come. Because Adam and Eve could not glorify us, we need the Messiah to be glorified. We need the heavenly man to come. Even if man did not fall, man was still purely earthly. Okay? So we need the heavenly man to be glorified. But Adam and Eve, in the period of probation, right? In the covenant of works, they failed to fulfill the condition of the covenant. And so the promise of the age to come, the promise of the heavenly city, the promise of the heavenly country, the new world, the new heaven and the new earth could not be fulfilled because of sin. And the fall came. But God is faithful, right? He promised to still send the man from heaven. And he's going to be the offspring of the woman. And this offspring of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent, right? And when Abraham was called by the Lord, it is the same vision that the Lord gave him. The vision of the city whose builder and architect is not man, but God. What Adam and Eve failed to accomplish because of sin within the covenant of works, God is going to accomplish in the covenant of grace.
God is going to accomplish through the offspring of Abraham. And so Abraham left Ur of the Chaldeans with that vision. Well, now we have to change our minds about Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they had their own weaknesses like us, right? They had their weaknesses, they had their failures, but they were heavenly minded. They weren't just thinking of, Abraham wasn't just thinking of a physical baby. He wasn't just thinking about a physical land. He was thinking about the offspring. He was thinking about the Messiah. His vision was the Messiah. His vision was the new heaven and the new earth. Let's continue our reading here in Hebrews 11 in verse 13 to 16. These all died, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Strangers and exiles on the earth. So they were exiles like Adam, right? Have been exiled. Verse 14, for people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had the opportunity to return. Look at verse 16. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Not the earthly Israel, but the heavenly country in heaven. And that's coming from heaven. Therefore, God is not prepared to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Or they have prepared for them a city. Verse 17, but by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Now look at that. Through Isaac shall your offspring be made. That is a quote from Genesis chapter 21, verse 12. A quote from Genesis chapter 21, verse 12. Through Isaac shall your offspring be named. We're talking here of two sons, right? Right? And you can check Genesis 21, verse 12. It's the same thing. Through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Isaac is not the offspring. Did you get that? Isaac is not the offspring. There's another offspring. And it's going to be through Isaac that that offspring is going to be named. So the vision is not Isaac. The vision is Jesus. The vision of Abraham is Jesus. The vision of the Old Testament is the Lord Jesus Christ. He left his country. He went to a land that he did not know. He was pursuing a vision that God gave him. And that vision is Christ, the offspring. And God said, it's not going to be through Ishmael that that offspring is going to come. No, you're going to have your own son. Because Genesis 21 is about Ishmael. You're going to have your own son, Isaac. And through Isaac, not Ishmael, through Isaac, the offspring will come. All right? Let's keep that in mind as we continue. This is a spiritual man. Abraham was a man of faith. And his faith was not from himself. His faith was a gift of God. And his faith was in the coming Messiah. His vision, his desire is in the coming Messiah. So we see here the situation, right? Abraham was in trouble. Abraham was covered with great fear. He was so fearful. He was worried. He was so insecure. Humanly speaking, he's done. Humanly speaking, he's dead. He's gone. His family is gone. Forget the child. They're not going to survive this. He's made enemies of more than 10 kingdoms. And he wouldn't unite himself with Sodom. He wanted to remain separate from the world because of God. Right? And Saul, the Lord appeared to him. The Lord gave him his word. The word of the Lord came to him in a vision. And they're talking not about physical security. They're not talking about armies and kingdoms and nations. This is a spiritual vision. This is a prophetic vision. This is an eschatological vision. God was reminding him of the vision. So he was taking Abraham's eyes out of the things of the world. And he was putting Abraham's eyes in the things of heaven, in the things of God. Don't be afraid of these guys. I am your shield. He said, he told Abraham, fear not. Fear not. Do not be afraid. The issue is not these guys coming after you. That's not the focus. Security is not the focus. The vision is not a secure Abraham. The vision is the coming of the offspring. The vision is the fulfillment of the promise. The defeat of Satan. That's the big enemy. And it's not, and Abraham is not going to defeat that enemy. It's going to be the offspring who's going to defeat the real enemy. The big issue is not security and stuff. It's not earthly things. The issue is the defeat of Satan, the reversal of the curse, the reversal of the fall, the fulfillment of the promise of God to save the world, to restore the world, to provide forgiveness of sins, atonement for sin, to provide renewal, to provide restoration and the coming forth of the new heaven and the new earth, the heavenly city coming down from heaven. Transformation of the world, the glorification of the saints. Abraham did not have his eschatology the way we have it in our day and age with both the Old and the New Testament, but he had the right vision. He had the right vision. And the vision has always been the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in Genesis chapter 1, and I've shown you that the last time I preached here. The vision is the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And on and on, as we come here, the Lord Jesus Christ is the vision. You see, the big problem is when our eyes are on so many things. Our eyes are on so many, because the things of the earth, they appeal to our flesh. And we feel danger. We feel insecurity. We feel fear and worries and anxieties. We read the news. We talk to people. We feel opposition. We feel resistance. We feel disagreement. We feel disputes. We feel hatred from people. And we see people moving from bad to worse. We see society moving from bad to worse to still worse. And it gets darker and darker. And we feel very insecure. We feel threatened. And that's normal. That's normal. But the Lord comes to us in the same way that he comes to Abraham. And he removes our eyes from those things. Those things are real. Those things are indeed fearsome and fearful. But God says, fear not. Fear not. We're not talking about those things. We're talking about the vision. These are the ultimate things. These are the things that really matter. Not the things of the earth. Not the rebellion of Satan that continues in the world. Not the rebellion of non-believers that continues and grows worse and worse. Those are real. Those are indeed something to be fearful about. But no, fear not. And God tells us the way he told Abraham, I am your shield. He's not giving us a shield. He's not saying, okay, Abraham, let's make a plan. We need to build up. You know, a big city, right here. And you need some stones, and we're going to build our walls here. God was telling him, I am your shield. You don't need physical shields. I am your shield. Stay with me, Abraham. I am in covenant with you. And again, as we read these things, because this was not just a message for Abraham, because it was a prophetic vision, right? Therefore, it was not just meant for Abraham. Did we get that? The prophet does not receive a word from the Lord. The prophet did not receive anywhere in the Bible. Prophets did not receive the word of the Lord in visions just for themselves. Right? Always in the Bible, Old and New Testament, the prophets received the word of the Lord in visions because they were the messengers of God, the covenant messengers of God for his covenant people. So this thing that we're reading is a message that, of course, it ministered to Abraham. But Abraham was going to share this. Abraham was going to proclaim and teach what happens here and what God tells him here to God's people, so that God's people may be comforted and strengthened through them. So God is the shield. Secondly, God says, your reward shall be very great. And that's when it gets deeper. God says, your reward shall be very great. And Abraham tells him now, what will you give me, Lord? Right? Okay, I'm going to get great reward. What will you give me, Lord? And he says, you haven't given me a son. My slave is going to be my heir. And God said, no. A son from your own body will be your heir. A son from your own body will be your heir. And then he took him outside and he showed him everything, right? All the stars. And he said, so shall your offspring be. Again, we're talking here about the Messiah. The Messiah is going to come. And the promise of God that all the nations of the earth will be blessed through the Messiah will be fulfilled. There will be multitudes of children for Abraham because of the coming Messiah. So we have it. The vision is the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham continued to live in tents. And ladies, you can think about this. Think about, imagine yourself living in tents all the days of your life. Let's say from the day that you are 70 years old until you die, you live in tents. That is difficult, right? That is very, it's difficult to live in a house with the roof, with holes in the roof, right? And it's not working. When it rains, it drips. That's hard. How much more in a tent? And they had to continue living like that, trusting in the Lord because of the vision. Because of the vision. And we see here that Abraham was approved because of faith. He believed God. He caught the vision. And in the last verse there, in verse 6, it says, he believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. You see that? Okay? Here is the vision of the Messiah coming, and the Messiah defeating Satan, and the Messiah restoring God's people, and the Messiah bringing forth a new heaven and a new earth. It's there. And Abraham was here, right? God showed him that vision. By the way, in John, I just want you to note this. John chapter 8, verse 56, the Lord Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and he was glad. John chapter 8, verse 56. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. God preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham when he said, in you the nations will be blessed. Okay? So here was Abraham. God gave him a vision of the Messiah. And he had to be approved by God. He needed righteousness just like us in order to become a part of the kingdom of the Messiah. You see that? Abraham needed righteousness. But we see that in his time in Egypt, he failed. He failed. And he realized that he was a sinner, big time. And he was now insecure. But by faith, he was declared righteous by God. By faith, he was declared righteous. And he was declared an heir. He was approved to be an heir, to be a part of the kingdom of the Messiah. That is also the same blessing that we have. God has given us the promise. The Messiah has come. The Messiah has come. And He shall come again. While we wait for Him, we already have the forgiveness of sins and the salvation. While we wait for Him, we have the Holy Spirit. And the Lord is with us in our pilgrimage, in our days here on earth. And Jesus did say, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. I did not come here to bring peace, but sword, right? The Lord said, there will be tribulations. But He also said, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And we have the righteousness of Christ that comforts us, right? That not by our works, but by faith, just like Abraham, we have been declared righteous because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are heirs of the kingdom of God. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are sorry that in many ways we are worldly and we are fleshly. In many ways we are petty. All we worry about are temporal things. All we are fearful about are earthly things. Many times all that matters to us are earthly things. But we see here the great example of Abraham. And his faith was not from himself. It was the gift of God, so that Abraham could not boast. You gave him faith. He was in an impossible situation. With his human eyes, he's dead. With his human eyes, he's gone. He's to be pitied. He was to be pitied of all men. And his wife, poor wife, they're all going to die. Living in tents. But you were with him. And in this passage, we don't read Abraham reaching out to you and crying out to you for comfort and help. Lord, you came to him in a vision and gave him your word. And that vision and word is about Christ. And that vision and word is not just for Abraham, but for us as well. And Lord God Almighty, we give you thanks and we give you praise that we like Abraham, we don't have to fear. No matter what happens to the world around us, we can remember that you said, fear not. No matter what happens, we can be comforted and strengthened by your word that we ought not to fear anything in this world. Because God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because of the death and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are always with us to the very end of age. You never leave us nor forsake us. No one can snatch us from your mighty hands. And Lord, please do relieve us of fears and worries and anxieties and give us faith. Increase our faith. Cause our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to grow. This faith that has totally come from your hands, from your sovereign and gracious hands, Lord, cause it to grow. Cause it to be strong. Help us to overcome fears and anxieties and all kinds of vexations here on earth. And help us to fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. And Lord, help us to make Jesus our vision. And the implications of that. That we are about Him. We are for Him. We are occupied with Him and His Word. And we are 100% dedicated and committed to Him. Help us, Lord, to kneel down again before your holy presence. And surrender everything unto you. And offer everything unto you. And to ask you to be the all in all. For our own lives and for our own families and for the church. And we thank you, Lord, that in Christ we have righteousness. We have justification by grace alone, through faith alone, because of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And so, Lord, we are sure heirs of the kingdom of God. We are sure heirs of salvation and eternal life. We are sure heirs of the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of the dead and the glorification of the saints and also of the new heavens and the new earth. Our salvation and inheritance is secure because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you once again. We give you praise, we give you thanks, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.